Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and again for just opportunity to be in church. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2. A few weeks ago we started a new series on the life of Elisha, and we just finished the study on the life of Elijah. And so a couple of these first messages on Elisha is going over some of the same scriptures that we used in teaching on the life of Elijah. But as we was teaching on the life of Elijah, we looked at it a little bit differently. We looked at it from Elijah's perspective. And now that we're teaching on the life of Elisha, we are looking at it from Elisha's perspective. And I trust that you have been able to see the difference, even though we're reading some of the same scriptures right now. But it was a transitioning from Elijah to Elisha as he was to be prepared for ministry through Elijah, and he was to be prepared to take over the place and the position of Elijah. And so last week we studied in here in 2 Kings chapter 2 and how that he had final exams, and this would have been the last day that Elijah would be on this earth, and Elisha, the last day that Elisha would have to be prepared and to finish his education, if you will, because after Elijah would be taken out of the way, up in a whirlwind, then Elisha would remain to take on the responsibilities that Elijah had as a prophet of God. And so we find that he had his final exams, and I trust looking at that, he was very much tested. And we know that we'll be tested. Our loyalty to God will be tested. Our faith through trials and tribulations will be tested to see if it's genuine or not. And only you and God knows whether it's genuine. And sometimes we don't even know until we go through the trials. And going through the trials will let you know whether your faith is genuine. If you turn away from it, then it more than likely was not genuine. If it was genuine, then you want to hold to the faith, and you want to continue to look to God in the midst of the trials. And because of that, when you do that, you'll come out on the other side of the trial closer to God with a deeper and a greater faith. And so we looked at the final exam last week with Elijah and how that Elijah told Elisha, if you're looking for an excuse, I pray you to stay here. As for me, I'm going. And so he was tested. He had an excuse. He wanted to use it. He didn't use it. He knew it was God's will for him to shadow Elijah as long as Elijah was alive. And so he would continue to do that through the testing. Well, Elisha passed the test. And tonight we're going to be looking at what he would receive. You know, when you finally get through the final exams and you get that diploma or whatever it might be, the certificate of completion, then that offers you different opportunities. It gives you a way of being able to maybe go into the career that you've always wanted to go into, become what it was that you wanted to be. There's always the benefits of passing that final exam to know that high school's over, only to realize that you just started college, amen? And but college is over, and then the hardest part of all, then you have reality of life. but you're better prepared because you've been tested, you've been prepared, you've studied, you've been trained, and now you can go on with whatever it is will be your call of God upon your life. Well, this was Elisha, and Elisha passed the test, and so now let's back up just a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 2, let's read verse 11, or verse 6 down to verse 11. And we'll find what Elisha would receive from passing the final exam. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the word of God together. Verse 6. Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they two stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground, the two of them, just Elijah and Elisha. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this evening, thank you for this another opportunity to be in church and to, Lord, just to take in that which you have for us. And Lord, I know that each one here tonight, as we all are needy people and we need all that you have for us in order to accomplish the things that you have us to accomplish. And so I pray that each one here tonight would open up their hearts and their minds to receive what you have for them through this study on the life of Elisha. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, Elisha had faithfully served God by being Elijah's servant. If you remember this, we studied this for 20 years. And there wasn't much said about Elisha for those 20 years. We read back in 1 Kings when Elijah was called by God. Elisha was called by God when Elijah threw his mantle over Elisha. And Elisha knew that was God's call upon his life. And he committed his life to following Elijah as this would be God's will and preparing him for the ministry that God had for him in the future. And he knew that he was in training and he would be the next prophet in the land. As soon as Elijah was gone, then he would be the next prophet. And so he was in training for 20 years. He was faithful to be the servant of Elijah. And that was what he had been doing. And then we find here, then it comes after that. Now we find some other things about Elijah, but it doesn't mention Elisha. But we know that Elisha was there for those 20 years observing and being trained by Elijah. And then we find here in 2 Kings chapter 2, then the next mention of Elisha, when it was the last day that Elijah would be on this planet Earth before God would take him up in a whirlwind. And so Elijah wanted to, and he knew this was the last day, and so for 20 years, he had not allowed Elijah out of his sight. He knew that that was what God wanted him to do, and he was to be trained by Elijah. So he had been faithful serving God by being Elijah's servant for 20 years. But now after the final exam, this final exam, would you follow him the last day and go where he went? And it was a very rugged day. They walked some 35 miles and they continued one right after the other. And as we studied that last week, he was tested on how far he'd go in laboring for the Lord, how far he would go in trusting in his loyalty to be there and to serve Elijah. And so he passed the test. And so right after this, and he's able to view Elijah performing a one last miracle with him in parting the Jordan River once again. And he was there to experience that. And the two of them walked over on dry ground. He was able to experience that. And so that in itself, that type of an experience, no doubt he is shouting hallelujah. I mean, because of what God is allowing him to experience with seeing the power of God working through Elijah to part the Jordan River, allow both of them to walk over on dry ground. And so that in itself is a reward. That in itself was something that he would receive by being faithful. He would experience this and walking over on dry ground. But what's most important here that we find that he would receive would be an invitation to ask. In verse 9, once they got over there, then Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. And just like when Solomon had been very faithful to want to be the man that God wanted him to be and to follow his father, King David, and to be able to be all that he could be as a king. And he had passed that test, and he had shown his heart. And God said, ask what you want. Somewhat the same thing, because the idea here is Elisha had qualified to have the opportunity to ask. Is there a qualification to have an opportunity, an invitation from God to be able to ask? Wow. That's what he receives. There are unconditional things that humanity qualifies for. And there are conditional things that humanity must qualify for. Unconditional things and conditional things. And without going into a lot, there's several things here, but without going into a lot, unconditional things for the lost is found, much of it's found in a very well-known verse of the Bible that most everybody is aware of, and that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I tell you, in that we find two unconditional things that the lost have. Now we find it throughout the scriptures to understand this, but first of all is God's love. Amen. You don't have to do anything to qualify for God's love for you. Amen. Just have to be a human being. You have to be someone that was made in the likeness of God, created in his image, in his likeness. If you were born, then God's the one that put your spirit into your mother's womb, and he gave you life. And because he gave you life and you are after God's creation, you was created in his image and after his likeness, can I tell you, unconditional love. You don't have to do anything. You are loved by God the moment of conception. You are loved by God while you are in your mother's womb. You're loved by God from the moment of birth. You're loved by God throughout your entire life. That's unconditional. That's what the Bible teaches us about God. Unconditional. Another thing that the lost have that's unconditional is God's gift. God gave for you. You don't have to do anything to qualify for being someone that God sent his son to die for. God sent his son to die for the world. For all humanity. Unconditional. God loved you enough, and God has proven his love for you in that he gave you his son. He sent his son to Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that we owed and could not pay. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. This is unconditional. The whole world has this unconditional blessing of God. Unconditional. You don't have to qualify for it. The saved have some unconditional things. One found in that very verse, John 3:16. The saved, once you have received a gift, you have everlasting life. Unconditional. If you're saved, the moment that you receive Jesus Christ, if you genuinely receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't have to do anything to receive this unconditional blessing of God. Outside of just receiving the gift, if you have the gift, then along with that gift, you have an unconditional promise of everlasting life. That means that your salvation is secure. If you truly have salvation, and we studied that before a couple weeks ago, only you and God knows if it's genuine or not. If it's genuine, it will be able to overcome the trials and the persecution and the tests of time. If it's genuine, you're saved. And if you're genuinely saved, then you have an unconditional promise of God, a blessing of everlasting life. Wow. You also have another promise. It's unconditional if you're saved. He'll never leave you nor forsake you because you're His child. If you're His child, you couldn't ask for a better father, a heavenly father. He will love you and He will do what's best for you. He will not give you exactly what you want, but He'll give you what you need. And God will work in your life to try to help you and give you the best opportunities possible to turn out right and to do right. That's the best, that is the best father you could have, someone who loved you enough not to just give you what you wanted, but make sure that you had what you need. And then to make sure that He is raising you to give you the best opportunity to accomplish His will for your life in this, on this planet Earth. That's unconditional. And so we have this, it's unconditional. If you're saved, you have everlasting life. What you have is it's unconditional. You have the promise that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never disown you. He'll never do that. He's going to treat you like one of His children for the rest of your life because you are His child. That's unconditional. So everybody understand here what I'm talking about here. There are unconditional things that humanity qualifies for, just being born, just being a human being. And there are unconditional things that we must qualify for. Or conditional things. The conditional things. Well, John chapter 15, verse 7. And there's many of those, and I'm not going to get into all of those. I just want you to understand that you've got to know that there's unconditional things that the lost qualify for. There's unconditional things the saved qualify for. But then there are some things that are conditional that you have to qualify for. And outside of salvation, you don't qualify for any conditional things from God because you're dead to God. Amen. So this is mainly for the believer. The believer has to understand that I have to qualify for conditional things, the promises of God that He gives to us that are saved. The Bible says in chapter 15 and verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask. And that's where we're coming from here. Elisha was given the opportunity and the privilege to ask. And so he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Qualification for answered prayers. Condition for answered prayers. If you're going to get answers to your prayers as a saved man, a lost man can't pray because he's dead to God. Now, he might go through the motions. He might think that he's doing something spiritual. But if you're dead to God, then that means you don't have a connection with God. You have to be God's child to call upon Him as your heavenly Father. And the only way that you can become His child is to receive an unconditional gift of everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Amen. So we got that. Hopefully you got that. But now that we're looking to conditional things, there are conditional things. The Bible says, if you abide in me. Conditional. You can ask what you will. But I can't claim that if I don't meet the conditions. I'm abiding in Christ, I'm living for Him, and I have His Word in me. I know His will for my life. I have His Word in me. I know the Bible. So with that in mind, I think everybody's there now. You understand there are conditional things and there's unconditional things. Unconditional for the lost and unconditional for the saved. And there's the conditional things for the believer that if you meet these conditions, then you can have these extended blessings. That go beyond what you have that is unconditional, goes beyond eternal life, goes beyond the fact that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But now you can go beyond that and you can meet the conditions to have the greater blessings of this life. And there's no greater blessing than to be able to have an invitation from God to ask. And so if I go back to 2 Kings chapter 2, we find here that Elisha now for 20 years has been faithful. He's been doing what God wanted to do. He passed his final exams. And with this passing of the final exam, we find that Elijah says to him, ask. Elisha will receive an invitation for opportunity to ask. But there would be other qualifications for it. Did you see that? Have you seen that? You have an opportunity to ask, but another qualification. It's up to God to give us whatever qualifications that God wants to give us. Amen? He's God. If you really want to have your prayers answered, then you're going to have to meet the qualifications, abide in Him, and His Word abide in you. Or else you'll ask amiss. But did you notice the qualification? And this is for us to learn, because after this, it wasn't any time at all and he was gone. But we have this given to us to understand how Elisha was able to ask for and receive what he asked for. Look what he says here. Ask what I shall do for thee. Qualification, before I be taken away from thee. If you don't ask before I'm gone, you can't have it. Did you catch that? And so he says, ask. It's, what a blessing there. An invitation for an opportunity to ask. But the qualification they would give him is before I be taken away from you. What's that teaching us? There would be a window of opportunity. If you look at that and really study that and wonder why was that said that way, can I tell you God has a purpose for writing it down and preserving it exactly the way that he wanted to write it down and have it preserved, so that we, as we study it and have a desire to learn the deeper things of the things of God, we would be able to learn these biblical principles and live our lives by them. So I have an opportunity to ask. If you're saved, can I tell you that you have the qualification to be able to ask. But along with asking, there would be a window of opportunity, a certain amount of time. That's what a window of opportunity means. How long would he have? He would say, all right, now wait a minute, Elijah, I know that you're giving me an opportunity to ask, and you've given me the qualification, as long as you're here with me, how long are you going to be with me? It would have been nice to know that, right? Do I have a day, a week, a month, a year? How long do I have to before I decide just what it is I'm going to ask for? He didn't give him a time. Now we know, because we read the rest of the story, we know it's that very day. In just a few minutes, he's going to be gone. He didn't know that. He just understood the qualification. A certain amount of time, a window of opportunity. A window of opportunity to ask. God's grace, get a hold of this, this is good. God's grace provides us with an invitation to ask. But time matters for the lost and the saved. God's love for the world extends His grace for whosoever to call upon the name of the Lord, to ask for salvation, to ask to be saved. His grace provides us with an invitation to ask, even the lost, but time matters. The Bible has much to say about time matters. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm making you think tonight, aren't I? Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Is there a window of opportunity for a person to get saved? And I guarantee you there are. There is. There's a window of opportunity for the lost to be saved. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 55, 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." That means there is a time when he will not be found by the lost. "Call ye upon him while he is near." That means there's a window of opportunity when he is near, when the Holy Spirit of God's convicting and you sense his presence. Second Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me write these down. Let me just read them to you. If I go too fast, I'd rather you think about what I'm reading and saying to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now listen here. This is a great passage of Scripture that goes right along with what we're preaching on tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." The grace of God, make it count. When you sense the grace of God, the love and the kindness and the presence of God trying to open a door of opportunity for you, make sure that you make it count. Don't just take the grace of God in vain. Receive not the grace of God in vain. That means not to act upon it, not to ask when you have a window of opportunity to ask. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." "Well, I'll get saved when I get ready to get saved." No, you won't. You get saved when God's ready to save you. And if you let that window of opportunity pass you by, you don't have the promise it'll ever be there again. When the Spirit of God is convicting you and revealing to you your need of salvation, you better take advantage of that window of opportunity. He's opening to you a window of opportunity, and you better ask for that gift of everlasting life. If you fail to do that, that window of opportunity might have closed the moment you said in your heart, "Not today." Yeah. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews, let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Book of Hebrews in chapter 3. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will, hear his voice." Spirit of God, conviction. His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. Today, if you will, when he speaks, hear his voice. "Harden not your hearts." I see this happening just about every Sunday. Somebody's hardening their heart by trying to block out the conviction of the Holy Spirit, whether lost or saved. And there's a window of opportunity there. "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. He said, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." Because if you know God's ways, you know there's a window of opportunity. Verse 15, it says, "While it is said, today, if you will," he leaves it up to us, a free will, "if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." How important it is to understand time matters. Elijah, you've passed the test. Elisha, you've passed the test. Now what I'm going to do to you, I'm going to give you an invitation to ask. But there's a qualification that goes along with this invitation to ask. Do it while I'm still here. How long do I have? Do I have till I'm 40 before I can get saved so I can do everything I want to do without conviction, without having to worry about going to hell? Do I have that long? Do you see how that would not work with God's design of things? There's been many young people who thought they had the rest of their life ahead of them to get saved and do what's right that died as a teenager. A car crash, drowning. We know not what a day may bring. There's been a number of men and women saying, well, I'll be the right kind of husband, I'll be the right kind of wife, and I'll be the right kind of parent, I'll be the right... Just later on, let me do what I want to do right now. Don't hassle me, don't put pressure on me. Let me do my thing, and later on, I'll be that. You might never have another opportunity that you have today to be that husband, to be that wife, to be that parent. There's a window of time. In every decision, God says, ask. You might have met the qualification to be able to ask, but have you met the qualification of in the window of time? Wow. All the lost have a window to be saved. If it's God's will that none perish, but all come to repentance, if God so loved the world, and if whosoever, then that means that every person will have a window of opportunity to be saved. People around the world, if they make right decisions through faith, when God provides opportunity, it will lead them to the next opportunity and to the next opportunity until they hear the biblical plan of salvation to be saved. But if they reject or neglect the window of opportunity, they have not hope of ever having another. In America, we are so blessed and so spoiled because there's quite a bit of more opportunity to know the truth and have opportunity to make those decisions. But still yet, even in this Christian nation, even in America, God says there's still windows of time. Only God knows how long you have in that window of time. Now, if I'd have known it when I was 8 years old that I would live at least till I'm 60, I wonder if that would have changed things. Amen. I don't know, but I know that it wasn't for me to know that then. It's not for you to know that today. Today's the day. Now's the time. As God speaks, as God opens you an opportunity to ask within that window of opportunity. All backslidden believers will have a window of time to repent. I believe God is a gracious God. And God's a God of a second chance. He really is. Praise the Lord. We understand that. We know that about God. But there's a window of opportunity for us to make a decision to repent before the judgment of God. And that judgment could be life. We find that over in the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. Amen. It's biblical. It's Bible. It's what the Bible teaches us. John, chapter 15 and verse 2. Verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, my Father is a husbandman. Understand that? So he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, if you're not bearing fruit, you're backslidden. If you're not serving God, you're backslidden. If you're not abiding in Christ and his word abiding in you, if you're saved, you're backslidden. And the Bible says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What does that mean? He's not going to continue to allow you to have an undisclosed amount of time for the rest of your life to do what you want to do when God says, I saved you to serve me. That's it. I guarantee you, I would not be alive today if I had not have surrendered to God's call upon my life back when I was 20 years old, 21 years old. He'd given me opportunity, kept working in my life, and I kept running and rejecting it. But the last thing that happened to me, there was no doubt in my mind. The Spirit of God made it very clear to me that God was saying, you either do right and come home and serve me, or I'll take your life. And I've talked to many, many that had that very same experience, that very same conversation with the Spirit of God, because it's real. If you're saved, God didn't save you to allow you to live like a lost man indefinitely on this planet Earth. He saved you to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and He has a purpose for your life. And as long as you have breath, He has a purpose for that. And if you reject that, there is a window of opportunity to repent, to get back to on the right track. Amen. So go back. We learned that. That's why it's right there. He says, all right, now you've graduated. You've passed the final test. Now this is the blessing. This is what we have in store for you. Now you have the privilege, the opportunity to ask. The qualification that is within this window of time. Well, right after that, before I be taken away from you, Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So we find that Elisha's request, and we're going to get back to that in just a minute, but his request would have to be in agreement with God's will. That's what he asked. But then look at the next qualification that he had to receive what he asked for. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless, okay, if you abide in me, my word, if, that's a word that we look to that says, all right, qualification. Now he's asked, and Elijah says it's a hard thing, and he puts another qualification on what he asked. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Whether you get that or not will be determined by one thing. You see me when I be taken from you. Why is it presented to us like that? What's he telling us here? It would have to be in agreement with God's will. What was he doing for the last 20 years? What did he do in his final exam to be able to pass the final exam? Don't let Elijah out of your sight. Follow him. Be with him. Learn from him. Even if he gives you an excuse, no, I pray you stay here, don't come. It was God who had given him this instruction, and he would have to follow what he had been doing that led him up to this point. Stay focused on what was God's will for Elisha's life. It was his qualification. If ye abide in me, if I abide in you, that's God's will for every day of our lives. That's exactly how God would have us to live our lives, because if we're abiding in God, that means that we are looking to Him. His word abides in us. We understand His will for our lives. And therefore, I will not ask something that He would would not be within His will. If you continue to do my will, if you continue to follow through with what you were before I gave you this open door, this opportunity to ask whatever, if you'll continue as you were before, then you will ask something that you know that will be in my will for your future, and that's a qualification to be able to have what you've asked for. Amen. Means if I finally get the privilege to ask, but yeah, I turn and go a different way, don't expect to get that answered. No matter what happens, stay focused on what you know to be God's will for your life. Yeah. And if you stay focused on what you know to be God's will for your life, you will be asking for the right things to continue to serve God. Stay abiding for answers to prayer. Stay abiding if you truly want your prayers answered, because that will determine what you pray for. Amen. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying right there. Now, in closing here tonight, I want to be able to look at just for a second here or two on there was no hesitation in Elisha's request. It all happened so quick right here. You see, he just performed the miracle. He reveals to him, I've got the power of God. You can ask, when you're asking me, you're asking God, because I represent the blessings of God upon your life. This was his will for him to follow Elijah. Elisha shows him, I have the power of God. He walks over on dry ground. They get over there and he says, all right, because you have passed the exams, now I'm going to give you the opportunity to have the privilege to ask. But there's qualifications to being able to ask. And now after he makes his request, there was a qualification for that, but look at how he responds when he says, before I be taken away from thee. He didn't wait 10 years hoping he had 10 years. He didn't wait an hour hoping he had another hour. He understood the window of time, and as soon as he heard the qualification, he said, why put it off? Why take a chance when I have this opportunity right here, right now? I don't understand people that know that they're lost. And they understand, and they're under the conviction, and they want to put it off. That shows you the power of the devil to blind the minds and the hearts of individuals. Elisha knew exactly. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be on me. Before you leave, a double portion of the Spirit of God be on me. I could just see him getting it out as fast as he could. I don't want this window of opportunity to pass me by. I've seen people run down the aisle before. And they're saying, I don't want this window of opportunity to pass me by. I remember when I was college career class, we was in church. And Sunday night, and we was there, and the preacher preached, I don't really remember what he preached on, but during the invitation, we heard commotion, and there was one of the boys that was in our college class, Mike Williams, and I looked around, and he comes running through the back door, and he runs, and he falls, his face on the altar, and was just weeping. And of course, somebody dealt with him up there, and we talked to him afterwards, and so what happened, he says, I woke up and everyone was gone. No one was in the house. Everyone was gone. I thought the rapture had taken place and I was left behind. And he said, I was never so happy to see that there were still people in church. Because he knew the rapture hadn't taken place. And when he got to church, it was during the invitation. He just got there just in time for the invitation. He didn't hear what was preached. But God convicted his heart and helped him to see what it would be like if he was still here. Amen. And the rapture took place. He said, I had to make sure that I was saved. I knew that I was saved and ready to go up in the rapture. That's how we ought to respond. I don't know how long and how wide the window of opportunity will be, but when the Spirit of God speaks, we ought to have a desire to say, I don't care how long. I've got an opportunity right here, right now. I'm going to answer the call. Amen. Elisha, let a double portion. He had been thinking about what it would take in order to take over the responsibilities of Elijah. He'd been doing it for 20 years, knowing that someday it was coming. He knew. As we talked and we studied Elijah, I'm half the man of Elijah. I can't fill his shoes. The only way I can continue to take this forward is have double the power from God. He knew when he had opportunity, exactly what he would ask for. And when the opportunity was given, he was quick to ask. Inside the window of opportunity that God had given to him. It was a huge ask. Elijah said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing." But it wasn't impossible. And so he says, "You've asked a hard thing, but if you meet this qualification, you can have it." Help me to understand the qualifications, Lord, to have what I asked for. Amen. You have to see me. I mean, for me to have this, all I have to do is see you go. I've been doing this for 20 years now. That's all? That's it. I believe at that moment he was determined. If it would have been another 20 years, he would not take his eyes off Elijah. You might be having something in your heart right now that's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. God says, this is the qualification to have it. No matter what it was, would you be willing to say, I'll do whatever? It was a huge ask, but not impossible with God. Listen to me, I'm closing with this. Only you can limit the power of God in your life. God has the power. Only you can limit the power of God in your life. And the lesson is, do not limit God. Just keep on meeting God's expectations and the qualifications that God lays out. Amen. Like every head bowed, every eye closed. There's a window of opportunity. Time matters. Time matters. It does. God's timing is perfect, but time matters. Let's make the right decisions while we still have time to make them. Don't wait. Don't put it off any longer. Invitation times right now. I'm not going to have the musical invitation. Very seldom do it on Wednesday night, but there's always an invitation. God spoke to you tonight. A decision that you know he wants you to make tonight. Why would you put it off? Why would you take a chance on that window of opportunity closing? Salvation, baptism, rededication, whatever it might be, commitment. Don't take a chance. Father, we bow before you and we love you. Thank you, Lord God, once again for loving us and for this opportunity to be in church and for this study and that you've given to us concerning the life of Elijah and Elisha. And Lord, exactly the way you've written it down for us to learn from it. And I trust tonight that we have been able to expose the scriptures in such a way that you would use this to speak to each one of us and help us to understand the importance of time, making the right decisions. I pray, God, for every decision that's being made right now, that you would bless them and that you would meet whatever needs they have. You would honor whatever they're asking.